Well, hello, Frinton Free Church. There are three passages that I want to bring to you concerning your core value of generosity. Now, I hope you will see that God is not calling you just to be an outsider looking in and supporting a cause. His calling is one that warms the soul and lifts your whole being and causes you to be generous in spirit before you ever reach into your pocket. Now, the three passages are Colossians 1, 21 to 23, where Paul is talking to Christians in Colossae. And he says this: once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This is Paul telling us the heart of the good news, and it's about reconciling. And then the main passage is 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21. Paul talking to other Christians in Corinth. And he says this: from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who has no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So again, another passage about God reconciling us to him. And the final passage that I'd like to bring comes from Matthew 28, 18 to 21. It's the Great Commission, and these passages from Paul are based on this Great Commission. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You see, these passages tell us that God has a big project to reconcile the world to his kingdom, to reverse the effects of the fall in Genesis 3, a fall he knew would happen but didn't prevent, because if he did, he wouldn't be making us in his image, but be making some kind of automatons, robots incapable of falling short of God's glory. He didn't want that. He wanted you to reach a full potential by being in his image. And that word reconciling is bringing the erroneous to the true. It's not meeting in the middle. Conciling is bringing together, and reconciling is doing it again. So it is actually referring back to the fall. You know, if we reconcile our accounts, we take what's in the bank and we make the books fit them. We don't say the bank balance is wrong and our books are right. If a couple reconciles, they do not meet in the middle. They go back to the goals they had at the outset of the relationship. They don't pick new goals. And when a divided nation reconciles, it does not look to apportion blame for what went wrong. It seeks to get back on the path of truth and righteousness and justice for all. And reconciling is costly on both sides. When we come to God reconciling us to God through Christ, It cost Jesus his life so that the justice of God could be overcome by the grace of God, something that always could happen but needed to be demonstrated. And this grace brings you and me into his kingdom forever. It brings joy and peace and satisfaction to the soul. It tells you that you've found love and forgiveness and acceptance and your true home, where you belong. The Colossians passage puts it this way: you become holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Now, if someone is there and they've never received that, well, you can today. You can have it by inviting the King of Kings, Jesus, to be the King of your life. And it will cost you a surrender to his will and his ways of doing things. It's costly on both sides. But he has done his bit and now asks you to do yours. Now you might think, well, okay, great, he's reconciled. So what? Well, let's talk about the church that Jesus imagined. Now, a lot of people get this upside down. It is not a body preparing for mission, but a missional organization becoming a body because they're united in their way forward. He didn't say, organize a church, then when you're ready, go to all the nations and make disciples, baptizing them as a Trinity and teaching them complete obedience. His priorities were, go, make disciples, baptize, teach complete obedience. And in the execution of doing that, you just may become a church. It's not a club for Christians, but a body for headship. This is what Jesus imagined. Each part doing their bit, the whole body doing the will of the head, all pointing outward. We look to each other to complement our efforts in his mission to reconcile the world to the kingdom of God. We love each other, support each other, serve each other, honor each other, and encourage each other so that the great mission of God is accomplished. Now, I know some of us are not there yet. We haven't grown up in our faith, and we're still wanting everything to be done when we want and how we want. We want the church to serve us, to keep us safe. But that's not the church that Jesus imagined. And we say things like, well, when my career is established, I'll give more energy to the mission of God and the church. Or, when things settle down, I'll give more time to my spiritual walk. Or when I'm under less pressure, I'll read my Bible and pray more. Paul recognizes that you and I are under the pressures of living. And that happens in 2 Corinthians 5, where after calling you and me ambassadors, he appeals to us. And he says, be reconciled. You have been reconciled. Now that you see it, be reconciled. Get on board. Get back on track for the mission of God. So he's got this idea of what you should be, what you could be. It's you as Jesus imagined. He imagined you as a fully mature ambassador of Christ, giving yourself wholly to his cause, not because you ought, not because you must, but because it's your heart's desire in response to the love and generosity of God. He imagined you as one who fully obeys Christ in thought and word and deed and can speak on his behalf to a broken world. You, with the character of Jesus in your attitude to others, with your spirit filled with his spirit, with your mind full of discernment, you knowing and using your spiritual gifts to build up the church so that it is fit for mission, You with a body of knowledge about spiritual life and about God and about the world, so that you're not easily knocked off course. And you have the wisdom to use your knowledge rightly. It's you with a servant attitude to the church and others. You with a steward's attitude to all your resources, your time, your talents, your treasures, your clothes on your back, and treating people as God's gift to you, and treating things as God's loan. It's you seeking to bring your family and friends into the kingdom of Christ because you know how good it really is. And it's you with a generosity of spirit because you have received God's generosity in being forgiven and accepted and clothed with righteousness. You're passing this on because you have received it freely and it's good for your soul. He imagined you as one who would complete the journey and bring glory to God in the process. I hope you won't look back on the time we're now in, between now and heaven, with regret, because you spent far too much time on the transient things, the worldly things, the things that rot and decay, and not enough time on the things of eternal significance. The love, the joy, the patience, the peace, the kindness, the goodness, the generosity, the faithfulness, and the gentleness of God. For these things, you will get a well done for reflecting them from your Creator and your Father. So my call to you today is to look up and see your calling. And thank God for it. Then to hear that voice that draws you near and asks you to be part of the mission of God to a lost and hurting world. And when you've done that, to reach out and encourage your fellow Christians to reconcile to God. And then you will be someone who will give pastoral care to others, helping them bring glory to God. So be reconciled. And when you are, give glory to God. For that is your calling.